I'm very honored to introduce West Heaven and this program, which is curated by Chinese Mirren Journal for West Heaven. And Catherine Beck has a piece of work installation, video installation, in this year's Shanghai Biennale that just opened last week, if it has time tomorrow. We have another music exchange workshop at Power Station of Art, First Floor Theatre. And before visiting us, you can also take a look at a ground floor installation by Teju. And West Heaven's initiative was initiated in 2010 as an exchange between China and India in contemporary art and social thought. And this year, we are very happy to have our first classic music exchange program curated by Professor Teju Swinidirajana. Teju is now working in Hong Kong in Lingnan University Cultural Studies Department. And we're very glad to invite both Indian and Chinese classic music performers to exchange as a starting event for this whole four session series. So you're welcome to visit our website or take a look at our WeChat and to see the following up program. And today we will have Zuoning and Teju to co-host this session. So now we can give you a break.
你好. Thank you, Zuoning. I forgot to tell you I started learning mandolin. Only four words so far. Very happy to be here again in Shanghai. Do come to the installation. So I'm trying to see this as not so much an exchange, but an actual collaboration between two different cultures. I want to see what kind of new questions we can ask about musical practice, about musical innovation, about questions of history, of tradition, of social change, and how all of these interact in creating performative art today. With a view to trying to understand this in my own context, I am also partly from the city of Mumbai in India, or Bombay as it's called, as is one of our performers here and some of the people in the audience. I looked at the history of Hindustani music or North Indian classical music in the city of Mumbai over the last 150 years, and I was struck by the similarities in terms of both the way the cities are put together and the way in which performative arts develop between, say, Shanghai and Mumbai. Also Hong Kong, but that's a different story. So I'm trying to understand in this project, which begins today, if you like, and I want to carry it forward for the next few years, to do some research in trying to understand how people learn music. And I think what's exciting about cities like Shanghai and Mumbai is that these are modern cities. These are cities which may have a longer history, but in the last 150 years, they took on a particular shape. They became huge modern metropolises. And many people wanted to learn music, to learn dance, to learn performance, who did not themselves come from musical families. This I find very fascinating, and I'm very interested in trying to find out what are the practices, what are the learning practices by which they become proficient in these musical forms. So this is my current research, and this is, I think, is one important example of how we are going to investigate the learning practices. One of the words we use in North Indian music to describe learning practice is riyaz. So the space of riyaz is the larger concept of this set of events that we have in Shanghai and in Suzhou. And before I go on for too long, I will ask Gwenny to translate a little bit as to what I'm saying. I think this is enough of an introduction to the project. You are here to listen to the performers, not to listen to us. So we will talk less and they will perform more.
再一次欢迎大家今天早上来到这里出席我们的工作坊。那在工作坊正式开始之前，请允许我用一到两分钟的时间先说一下今天工作坊的宗旨，还有我们这个标题深深相惜的背后的意思在哪里。其实在策划这个过程里面，我是征求过我的前导师，香港中文大学的余少华教授。余老师是一位就是非常资深的民族音乐学者，然后在我讲这个怎么把这个题目翻译的时候，我请教了他，他说，哎，不如用深深相惜吧。那当然，第一眼，就作为我们这个香港人啊，我会理解为什么叫深深相惜，因为深深相惜这四个字，在广东话来说，跟惺惺相惜，跟这个惺惺相惜四个字是同一个发音，就用广东话来说，就惺惺相惜。 然后刚开始的时候，我也会犹豫，哎，我要不要去用这个题目？我怕就是用普通话读出来的话，会大家不一定能理解这个意思。但是在深一层去看的时候，发现这个题目特别特别的有意思。为什么呢？其实它这个题目就是我们今天这个现场那个写照，我们把两种不同的声音来自于不同两个国家的声音放在一块儿，而且是第一个这样的交流的工作坊。 非常的难能可贵，值得我们去珍惜的。所以就像刚才泰柱所说的，我们今天在这个工作坊里面，我们希望把两种乐种两个 genres 的他们怎么去学习，怎么去排练的情况，在今天这个小小的项目里面能够展现给大家看。 好，今天的所有一切都是会以双语进行，包括 PPT 也好，或者说我也会当这个翻译的，所以不要担心。So all the way through today will be in bilingual, including the PowerPoint. So no worries.
I think you can introduce. I'll ask Gwenny to introduce the performers, all the performers in Chinese. I think that's enough. Anyone here who doesn't follow Putonghua, Mandarin?
我就用中文全都把就是艺术家老师们介绍一遍，可以吗？好，我们先 欢迎三位从印度来的老师，从这边从右到左开始，第一位是我们的 Padita Lalefrao 老师。 Padita Lalefrao 老师是一位非常资深的古典印度音乐家，他从他十几岁就开始从事这一行，到他今年已经是从业六十多年了，再次欢迎。然后坐在Padita Lalefrao 老师旁边的是 Sri Omkar Havada 老师。年纪轻轻的这位老师，他已经是从两岁开始就学习印度音乐，很年轻很小吧然后他从五六岁开始就正式进入这个正统的正规的训练里面。好，然后旁边的是Kumari Rajitalal。跟他旁边这位是 Omkar Havada 老师一样，他也是从两岁开始就学习印度音乐，然后也是在五六岁的时候他们开始正式的这种正规的训练。好，现在让我介绍我左边的，也是我三位非常好的朋友。第一位是李安先生，李安老师，他是上海昆曲团上海昆曲团国家一级演员。相信如果大家在上海，也会经常看到他在舞台上面的演出。坐在他旁边的是迪士田莹，国家一级演奏员。老师刚刚在北京大学是吧？
对，
北京大学的艺术学院刚给过一个个人的专场讲座，非常厉害。好，在最后最顶头那面是林峰老师，林峰老师是国家一级演奏员，是司鼓。林峰老师也是曾经为上海昆曲团策划过那个专场的音乐会，所有的一切背后的节目都是他去策划的。好，再次欢迎三位。别看他们三位那么年轻，其实他们已经从事昆曲已经超过三十年了。好，事不宜迟我们现在马上就开始我们第一个部分。我先很简单的说一下历史背景。好，很快我就用一到两分钟的时间去讲述一下这个印度古典音乐和中国昆曲的比对。其实在我昨天做前两天做这个表格的时候，我发现特别有意思的地方，就是说一开始当他们接触我说要做这个项目的时候，我第一个反应说，哎，这两个乐种我究竟可以怎么帮他做比对呢？我觉得好像他们没什么大的关系，但是当我仔细分析下来，我发现还是会有很多就是类似的地方的。比如说实际上他们可能相差的比较远然后发源地呢，印度音乐是从南亚斯大陆发展过来，然后中国昆曲是从我们的吴语地区发展出来的。然后语言呢，其实你看一下，就是都是他们地道的方言，还有他们就是印地语，还有我们昆曲的话就是有中州音，还有那个方言也是会用得到的。最有意思的是他们也是会分北派和南派。我们呢昆曲我们没有流派，等会林安老师和钱英老师这方面可能要补充一下，因为当我在准备这个过程里面，我也问他们，哎，为什么昆曲没有流派，只有风格，就是南曲北曲的分别，这个我们可以等会再仔细探讨一下。然后下一点就是他们的地位，原来这两个剧种两个乐种都是曾经为这个王朝回宫廷服务过的然后最后他们也有固定的旋律模式，还有旋律模式。然后就是这个印度音乐就是用这个塔尔为主的，我们中国昆曲就是曲牌，这个我相信大家都知道。好，然后最后一个稍微有不同的地方，就是印度音乐会有即兴的元素，而我们在昆曲是即兴元素非常非常少，不是说完全没有，但是可能只是在一些鼠来宝上面，对不对，林老师？鼠板上面对会有，但是在它的那个旋律方面做即兴的元素就相对来说比较少了。 Okay, so I was talking about, I was comparing the similarities and difference between classical Indian music with Kunchu. It is interesting to find that there are a lot of similarities between the two genres, including including strand style, which is often divided into the north and the southern style. And also for the status, they have also been serving for the imperial empire. And also the forms, there are definite form for Kunchu, which we call chupai or label tunes. And for classical Indian music, we call it tal. It's tal, right? Tal. And then for improvisational elements, we find that there are a lot of improvisation, you know, in classical Indian music. But for Kunchu, we cannot say we have it, but we have. We cannot say we have it, but there's just a little bit of it, but not on the melodic, melodic wise. Yeah.
I think that Vinny has given us a comprehensive history, so I don't want to waste any time talking about the history of Indian music. You can find a lot of that writing on the net, I'm sure, both in Chinese as well as in English. And if you have questions at the end, I think we can take some. But the only thing to remember is that I think she's given you some of the historical background, that it's from several hundred years ago. It has changed in that time. What used to be one, you know, overall sense of, you know, melody that was used in the entire subcontinent, separated out in the last few hundred years into a more strongly South Indian tradition and a more strongly North Indian tradition. But there are people here from Southern India, like Omkar or like myself, but we sing Northern Indian music. So the fact that you come from somewhere doesn't mean you cannot sing that other form of music, right? That has now changed, but in terms of the language, in terms of the origins, in terms of the content, these are now two distinct kinds of musical forms that you find in India, in the more what you call classical traditions. The idea of the classical also emerges only in the 20th century. We don't really have a distinction between popular and classical that you have in Western music or you have in Western culture more generally. I think both in China and India, you, and in more of the non-Western countries, you have a continuum where the idea of the popular and classical only emerge after contact with Western, in Western histories, and as we try to also say, we also have a classical, we also have a popular, right? But I think that one of the key points of interest for me in trying to compare what's going on in India and China is to look at the cultural continuum, if you like. We don't really distinguish. That one kind of thing flows into the other thing, right? That's in terms of the genres. So more than that, I don't want to say, because I would now like to invite actually Pandita Lalit Rao to just begin to show you what it's like.
I think even you have an octave that is a base seven notes. We used the drone. That is,
show the picture, please.
Can you show me?
There's a slight mistake in the image on the right. It should not be without, it's just a long thing. That's not the tanpura, that's the sitar. Apologies for that mistake. I couldn't see, the image is too small, it's too late at night. But the tanpura is just more like a lute. Like your pipa, it comes from Western Asia, right? It's just a stringed instrument that keeps the drone. This is the drone we now have on the iPhone and the iPad.
We have four strings on the tanpura. We have four strings on the tanpura. The first, the last string gives you the bass note on which you start. The do, as I don't know Chinese music, but in Western music, becomes the do. And the middle two strings give you the other higher do. Do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do. So, sa, ni, fa, pa, ma, ga, de, sa. So, sa, those are the two middle notes. Sa, that is the last note. And the first string will give you, depending on which melody you are singing, either the fa or the so or the ti. Those three notes you keep. So, and we don't change the note. The note is decided depending on your voice. I sing on G. He sings on
C sharp.
C sharp. And Rupija,
I sing in A.
A. So that becomes the base for each one of us to sing all the melody. And we don't have, like you have soprano or bass or bass or anything. You choose your voice depending, your note depending on your voice.
Yeah. Can I ask you now to say something about the instruments?
In Hindustani classical vocal music, we are accompanied by the tabla or percussion, which keeps the time, which keeps the rhythm for us. It's the constant cycle, timekeeper, and we adhere to the time. We improvise while the time cycle is the same. And we have harmonium, which follows the melodic theme. The melodic tune is followed by the harmonium. Whatever the singer sings, that is repeated on the harmonium. And also, to give rest to the vocalist cannot sing continuously. Both mentally and physically, there needs to be a small amount of rest to gather the thoughts, to continue, to gather the breath, to continue. So the harmonium does the filling apart. Also meaningfully complementing the singer, just not following, also meaningfully complementing. And Pandita Lalitji has spoken about the tanpura, which gives the tonic note, which is continuously giving us the tonic note. Sometimes we are also accompanied on the sarangi, which is close to the violin, the string instrument. We are either accompanied on the harmonium, or on the violin, or on the sarangi, when it comes to classical vocal music.
We want them to speak about the instruments later.
Yeah, let's just speak now.
So what I will now ask is to ask Lalit Rao to start demonstrating. This is going to be about 15 minutes. All three of them are going to sing. And we're going to, she's going to explain. I think it's better that she does it.
Sure.
Do
the Bhopali. Sure,
translate a bit before.
Yes.
我来翻译一下刚才他们两位老师说的关于印度音乐的一些就是调性还有乐器方面。乐器方面，你看，就是上面现在我们看到明显有三种，对不对？然后第一个啊 ，Patisam Ladifrao 老师介绍的那个 Tempura 呢，就是你现在一直我们听到好像有个延续音，对吧？好，就是由这个乐器就是产生出来的。这个乐器有是属于四弦乐器，然后呢，跟那个鲁特琴也有就是很相似的地方啊。包括我们中国的琵琶也是从鲁特琴演变过来的。好，然后呢，到那个 tabla for percussion 啊，塔布拉鼓，
塔布拉鼓
呢，刚才老师也说了，其实它是为演唱者提供一个节奏、一个节拍、一个框架去唱的。这个呢，其实跟我们的昆曲也有非常接近相似的地方。等会儿我们的林峰老师也会就是为大家再做详细的解释。好，然后呢，中间是 harmonium， 就是这个小小的小风琴。那小风琴呢，刚才我听起来原来跟我们中国昆曲的笛子也有非常相似的地方，它为我们提供一个主旋律的作用。但是在这个主旋律里面呢，它也会让这个演唱家有作为即兴的这个即兴的空间然后有些时候在各种不同的演出需要里面，这个小风琴也会被小提琴所替代。然后下来我们就请我们的几位印度的老师帮我们演唱一下。
We are choosing a pentatonic melody because many of us felt that Eastern music is quite a bit, you find pentatonic notes in the scale. And I will ask what we are trying to do is, if you shift the scale,
if you shift the bass from
the tonic note,
the tonic note,
if
you transpose the tonic note, you get different melodies. So we've chosen the best tonic melody, and Rutuja will first sing one combination. Omkar will transpose it by 2-3 notes and sing, and then they will perform, and you will see how, if you transpose, you get a different impression, a different complexion, and a totally different perspective. Rutuja?
下来他们会以一个五声音阶去演奏，然后我刚刚说漏了一点，不好意思，就是说，其实他们每个人的声调，他们的嗓子都不一样的，所以他们的主音我们叫 tonic notes，tonic notes，tonic notes 开始的音都会不一样，所以等会儿他们三位都会用不同的主音开始，然后这个主音会直接影响到他们后面的旋律，还有他们各种节奏的那个组合。
I will be now singing a scale of a pentatonic raga named Bhook. Thank you, Sanjay.
And we call it the Malgaons. Here it is. So here, sa re ga sa sa ga ma da ni sa sa re ba ma ga. The first tonic note. Even though we are singing raga, technically we are singing the same notes as Raga Bhupali, the raga here becomes a different one. The melodic scheme becomes a different one. This is one point where we arrive at different melodies, even in the same scale, by changing the tonic note, by transposing the tonic note. And another big part of Indian classical vocal music is that, as Pandita Lalitra Guruji was saying, that we sing depending on our pitch. We don't change the scale for the sake of the pitch. Every singer sings all the melodies in his own or in her own pitch. Now you will see how we can sing Bhupali in the same pitch and how Malgaons can be sung in the same pitch. Over to you.
Now I will be singing a composition in Raga Bhook, which is set to a 16-week time cycle.
melodies by transposing it all. I'll just get back to that. So this is how we got to Bhopal. Malcolm's in the first place was transposing the third note to star. And now I will demonstrate how we can sing the same rag in the same pitch.
by transposition you get different notes and hence different melodies. But using the same notes and the same tonic, we get different melodies. By two or three techniques, how you approach the note. We never sing staccato notes. Sa, re, da, pa, tha, sa. We don't say that. Sa, re, da, pa, tha, tha, sa. Sa, tha, pa, ga, re. You see the notes flow from one to the other. Sa. I'm not saying sa, I'm saying ha, re. Either you take one or two notes below or above to arrive at any note. Hence there's a continuity. Now using the same note, sa, re, ga, pa, tha, sa, sa, tha, pa. Now with the same notes, I'm going to sing a bandish in a rag called Deshkar, which emphasizes the upper half of the octave. And the combination of notes is different. So it gives a totally different complexion.
Something for Gwenny to translate, but I think no translation is required. You listen to this, right? So we spoke a little bit about the instruments that are used in Hindustani vocal music as accompanying instruments. They spoke about the scales of the music. We don't have scales like, say, Western music, but the raga is a melodic combination of certain notes. And you need to touch on those notes to make that particular raga by the name that it is called. What they did was to demonstrate the same pentatonic notes but in different combinations as they create different rags. Rutuja sang rag Bhopali, Omkar sang rag Malkans, and Lalitji sang rag Deshkar using the same notes, but these are totally different ragas. Okay. They spoke about the role of percussion when they were singing, because they were able to demonstrate with the same rhythmic cycle how by varying the tempo they can make the composition sound different. So I think we demonstrated everything that we set out to demonstrate. Mm-hmm. Is there anything else you would like them to do, or maybe you could over to them?
稍微用中文说一下吧，就是刚才你们能看到，就三位老师，他其实都是同一个五声音阶去唱刚才三个不同的曲子，但是同一个音阶出来的音乐感觉完全不一样。这个除就是除了取决于他们开始那个主音以外，还有他怎么去接触第一个音，就是我们刚才老师说的 approach， 你怎么去接近这个音？你到底是划过去还是跳过去？然后在他们古典的印度音乐里面，就不像我们西方音乐会有 staccato， 会有跳音，它都是有个 flow 的，有流动的。然后其实还有一个特别的地方，它的那个节奏的组合是能够变的。我这里我不知道能不能说清楚，就比如说你刚开始，如果是西方音乐的朋友大概知道。八分音符，两个16分音符，在一个4分音符，就如果就后面这样排，它可能后面的下一个节奏型就会倒过来了，就是从4分音符开始，然后后面再排过去。我不知道，如果就是有问题，我们大家会后可以再探讨。但是这个是也是就是造成他们刚才同一个音阶，但是做出来完全不同音乐的主要因素之一。
好，薛明峰就是昆曲老师，大家好。那现在呢，我们就可以听一下我们三位昆曲艺术家介绍一下昆曲到底是怎么跟这个印度古典音乐去交流。好，要不钱老师先帮我们跟说说这个乐器的。
谢谢大家能参加这个活动，花时间。 我先说说那个昆曲的乐队编制。昆曲的乐队的伴奏剧目是随着那个剧目设立的。然后呢，就目前演出的剧目而言呢，有三种情况。一种呢就是传统的折子戏以及稍作整理串联而成的传统大戏。第二种呢是经过较大功夫整理改编的传统大戏。第三种呢是新创作的各类历史和近代题材的大中小型的剧目。 这三种的那种式样呢，然后就会有这种昆曲伴奏的乐队的式样。一般是有昆曲是有笛子主奏来伴奏的，然后还有唢呐、有笙，还有二胡、中胡。以前昆曲乐队还用那种叫提壶，那现在都不大用了。还有弹拨乐的那个三弦、琵琶，还有扬琴和中阮。 然后大家可以看到，这些乐器可以分为三大类。第一类是吹管乐，就是笛子、唢呐和笙；第二类就是那种弹拨乐，那个三弦、琵琶、扬琴、中阮都可以算弹拨乐；还有一种就是拉弦乐，提壶、二胡这样子，三种类型的乐器。然后呢，文场的。 以伴奏的歌唱为主，并担任表演动作的音乐，比如说舞蹈的开打音乐、舞蹈的开打音乐、舞台的气氛音乐，还有尾声音乐，这些都是根据不同要求伴奏不同类型的吹打曲牌，也可以用一些适合剧情的其他旋律来做配曲。然后呢，就是在那个昆曲里面那个乐队呢。 是，如果曲笛的演奏呢，是在其他乐器下的配合，才能完成的。比如说，笙是一种具有和音功能的乐器，它吹出的和音旋律呢，能使乐队的音色更加的丰满悦耳。然后，中胡、二胡的音色呢，较为柔美，是用长弓、还有斗弓、滑音等技法，对乐队是一种不可缺少的一种衬托。然后，弹拨的话就是三弦，还有琵琶。 它是不同形式的弹、跳这种指法，然后音色的清脆明亮，在自宽腔广的旋律中呢，可以弹出各种传统的节奏套子，使曲调呢更具有动感。
So let me translate a bit on what Mr. Chen has talked about. So we have different synths for Chinese Kunqu, namely the stifle synths and the martial synths. So on the screen we have instruments for the stifle synths, which is defined as mostly singing melody, no martial actions, And then we have winds, we have winds, we have strings, and plucked instruments. So on the screen you can see the bamboo flute, which is the main instrument for Chinese kunqu. Later on, I will ask Mr. Chen to explain a bit the role of bamboo flute for kunqu, how they collaborate with the singers. And then you can actually see other main kunqu instruments, which is mostly strings instrument, I think. And then for kunqu, for the current performances, we also have several kinds of, or several forms of performance. First is excerpts, and then the other form may be full-scale productions, which may last for 2 hours or so. For excerpts, we usually have excerpts means, you know, selections from the full-scale productions, and then each may approximately last for 30 minutes or so, 30 to 50 minutes.
钱老师能跟我们再说一下，就是曲笛在昆曲里面的角色是什么样的吗？就是比如说你是怎么去跟演员配合这方面？
昆曲里面呢，就是有分南曲北曲之分。南曲很简单，就是有五声音阶哆来咪嗦拉。那北曲呢，就是七声音阶 ，do re mi fa sol la si， 它是七声音阶的。然后呢，一般呢是南曲里面呢，大多源于宋词以及南方的民间音乐；北曲呢，大多源于唐宋大曲、金元音乐，保存了元代北曲的若干遗音。当然呢，不同的音阶是不同的民族、不同地区在音乐上长期形成的这种审美习惯。那魏良辅在曲律中呢，早就指出他们的特点是北曲以遒劲为主，南曲呢以婉转为主。那一般的伴奏呢，就是我们曲笛伴奏呢，在唱腔的时候呢，要注意演员的那种气口，还有的音高、轻响、轻重缓急都很重要。如果你伴奏的得当的话，演员在台上的发挥就更加的出色。
So we were talking about the scales for kunqu. We usually have two styles. One is the southern style, and then the other one is the lofting style. For the southern style, we use pentatonic scales which range from do re mi fa, do re mi sol la. And then for the lofting scale, we use the heptatonic scales, 七声音阶. And as you can see from the diagram here, we have two different lines.And then up there for the Chinese characters is actually the sounding of this instrument. And then this is the counterpart of kunqu scales in Western music scale. Okay. Yeah. So let us move on for the kunqu instruments for the martial sense.
林峰老师，麻烦你帮我们介绍一下。
前面介绍了这个文场，戏曲的文场，然后我现在来介绍一下戏曲的武场。从这个戏曲的乐队来说是分文武场的。那么从武场来说呢，大家顾名思义，这个武场是不是这个主要是戏尾为主的是配合，但是它也是配合这个文场的啊，也有配合。武戏嘛，就是最主要是会加上这个打击乐啊，然后我先介绍一下这个我演奏的这个乐器叫板鼓啊，这个也是整个乐队的相当于一个指挥司鼓，是把控整个演出当中的这个乐队的节奏，台上演员的节奏是由这个司鼓来把控的，那就是第一个啊。然后我先说一下这个下面这个三个打击乐器。第一个呢是大锣啊，它起到的是这个节奏把控的作用啊。然后大锣也有个名称叫半个鼓嘛，它起到是节奏的把控。然后还有第二那边就是有两片铜片的，这个叫铙钹啊，这个叫铙钹。 然后还有当中的那个叫小罗啊，就有这四样东西形成了五场的四大件。我们文场有四大件，武场也有四大件啊。然后就是根据这个台上演员的这个节奏变化和这个场景的变化，包括这个气氛的这个改变，有可能这个舞狮会用到那个大堂鼓，就是当中的那个红的，我们也叫花盆鼓啊，大堂鼓。然后这个第一排的这个右手边最旁边的那个叫小堂鼓。所以刚才这个听了这个印度的艺术家们介绍，我感觉音乐都是相通的，不但音乐相通，实际上乐器都是相通的。我看到了这个印度的，他们有个塔布拉嘛，有个塔布拉的鼓，对吧？实际上和我们的这个大堂鼓、小堂鼓出来，就是大致都有点相同的，但是这个就是味道不一样啊。我也非常喜欢他们的这个塔布拉的这个鼓啊。就是然后呢，这个我们这个打击乐呢，一个是配合演员，然后每一样乐器呢就是都有自己的一个特质。然后这个台上呢，我们戏曲叫有这个虚拟性，对吧？台上放个台子就是一座山，然后手捏马鞭呢就是演员在骑马了。但是我们乐队呢叫拟音性，它有一个效果出来的，就是配合台上的。那我来演奏一下，大家听一下，好吧？每样乐器都有它的这个效果啊。
再
直观的看一下啊，然后这个叫大锣啊，这个叫大锣，
是
主要是板头，
Mr. Lin has introduced instruments for Kunshun Martial. So we actually can see the big main four instrumentsfor such scene, such as the clapper and drum, the big gun, the small gun, and the cymbals. And the most important ones are the clapper and drums, which control the rhythm of the whole, you know, performance. And then for the big gun, it is of second importance to the drum, which also creates the atmosphere for the whole performance. So now Mr. Lin will perform the big gun, demonstrating how ityou know, illustrate the atmosphere or how it depicts what is going on in the performance.
然后先介绍大锣啊，这个大锣呢，实际上它有很多种。我们如果打门戏的话，我们会用最大的一个，这个叫堂门啊，堂门是这个是当中是敲当中是这个叫堂门。我们说啊，基本上这个在演出当中是要以当中为主的。我们小时候练功啊，也就是为了要敲准当中啊练准的啊。然后呢，这个最大的锣我们叫低虎音，这个堂门比较大。然后呢，正面叫这个中虎音，这个堂面稍微小一点啊。还要再高一点的呢叫高虎音。然后呢，配合武戏演员的话，有可能会用苏锣，这个堂门还要再小一点啊。最高的就是打猴戏的，就是孙悟空啊，西游记孙悟空，我们用的是小光锣，更小啊。然后呢，这个大锣我想这个演奏一下什么呢，就表现台上我们古代啊有一个报时嘛，我们叫敲金打金，就是我们有一金两金三金四金五金嘛，我们都有，对吧？那么在台上呢，我们就是用大锣来表演的啊。我们听一下啊，我就打个三金啊。这个就是台上就报时，这个时候是什么时间啊？这个是大锣。
Mr. Lin actually finds there are a lot of connections between, you know, Quench percussions with the Indian percussions, such as the sonority may be different, but, you know, the role of percussion, like they're controlling the rhythm, you know, of the performance. And what he has been, demonstrated just now is the sound of the clock that we used in ancient China. We do not have a clock. We didn't have a clock at home. But usually, someone will walk outside and let you and hit the gong and let you know what time is it. Yeah.
这个叫脑搏啊，这个上面照片也有的。那我想表演的就是，一个场景，就是我们有一出豫语粘戏，不知道大家看过没有？有一场叫是秋娇，就是他表演的就是古代这个我们渔家的船了、啊，是还没有出海的时候是搁在这个泥滩上的，然后要从这个泥滩出来。然后推下去，让它可以开船，就是要起船的这个声音，好吧？就是从泥里把它摇摇松动，然后放到水里的这个声音。啊，它是和台上的动作是有这个配合的啊。它是有这样一个、啊、就是用脑搏这个声音来配合台上的这个动作、嗯、
这是水声吗？
不，这个是起船，
起船。 OK, so the symbols is imitating the sound of setting up the boat.
The boat.
Yeah, because in traditional Kunqun opera we have a repertoire called the jade headpiece, and there is one scene where the male and the female see off each other, and yeah, they see off each other on the boat.
Oh,
yeah.
然后脑搏也有很多种，就这个单脑搏，这个就是一般我们打武戏的这个脑搏。然后它还有分小气搏，还有分吹打搏。在更大一些的，像我们前一段时间在金山演出这个，三打白骨精，对吧？它用的是将军搏。然后更大的就是大脑了。就是我们脑搏当中也分很多种、mm-hmm. 就是说
OK, so for cymbals and also the trigon we see just now, we have actually a lot of different types which produce different register. So it depends on the situation, we use different kind of trigons and cymbals to produce different, different sonorities.
然后我现在介绍的是小锣。小锣呢多用于就是它有分啊，也有低音小锣还有高音小锣之分。然后呢它低音小锣主要是配合文戏。文戏呢最多的就是古